Pretty much, man. It started, man, with just people asking me, Terry, how do you go about raising money? I've raised money for a long time, man, for pretty much anything I ever wanted to do.
So tell me, what makes an entrepreneur more investable?
Okay, put the play together because somebody would invest. Like, I would invest in something like that. If you got the play together, hey, here's 5K, here's 10K. You know what I'm saying? If it makes sense. I may not agree with the idea, but the data never lies. So that's why data is so important. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because you can't fight against data and statistics.
Right.
So I might not like you, I might not like the idea, but the data, the numbers are the numbers. That when I give you, if I give you 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, whatever it is, you're not gonna go in and add to your Jordan collection. But for me, I like to be honest, I operate more from the entrepreneur side. So I'm getting money.
Okay.
So I'm getting money. So I'm not.
I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a very special guest on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, you in for a treat, so take some notes. This man is a serial entrepreneur, philanthropist, an author. I like to call him Mr. Biggs, but his real name is Terry Briggs. Ladies and gentlemen, in the building. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Glad to be here, man.
Pleasure to have you.
Loving the energy already. Let's go. Let's go. I feel like I'm in the studio. Let's go. We about to drop something.
It's like Madison Square Garden, baby. Having you on board, you know what I'm saying? Well, first and foremost, my brother, I'm glad to have you here. You know, we met each other not too long ago, but the vibe's been positive from the beginning. And I look forward to building this relationship long term. So thank you for your existence, my
man,
brother.
Thank you, brother. Same for you, man. I think we vibe that. I met you through our mutual friend, Nate.
Nate Pele.
Nate, and I forgot what event that was. And just connected and vibe, man. So I appreciate the relationship. I'm a relationship guy, man. So I love deepening those relationships, man. So I appreciate the invite on the show.
Right, man. And I see that, man, especially now. Sometimes things are so transactional with people. They neglect to build a relationship and don't understand that building a relationship can build a partnership, which will end up, doing a bunch of things that we never even thought we can do from the beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can appreciate that, my brother.
Yes, sir.
But the reason why I brought you here, man, because I see you got this book out, Investor Magnet, you know what I'm saying? You see him out here, you know what I'm saying? So I want to just dive straight into it, man. Like, tell us about Investor Magnet, man. What's that all about?
Pretty much, man. It started, man, with just people asking me, Terry, how do you go about raising money? Because I've raised money for a long time, man, for pretty much anything I ever wanted to do. So people didn't ask me for a long time how you go about doing it. So let's just put together some type of book, of course, to teach people, because we don't got time to help everybody.
Correct.
So we titled the book Investor Magnet, The Entrepreneur Guide to Attracting Investors to your brand, your business, or product, or big idea. That's just kind of how the process started. So just trying to help as many people as possible, man, because a lot of people don't understand that there are potential investors everywhere. From family and friends to the neighbor next door, angel investors, there's people around. So I like to say, listen, if you got a good idea, for example, this podcast, you and I talked about it. There's people who might say, hey man, I like what you're doing. And what they're going to tell you is, if they love what you're doing, they're going to say, "Yo, well, put it together, put a plan together." But a lot of people don't know, what does that look like? Okay, what do you mean, put it together? So what I do is teach people how to do that process, how to not only attract investors, but also how to get them to cut the check. So that's kind of what we're teaching.
Got it. Okay. So tell me, what makes an entrepreneur more investable?
Right. So for me, if they're more investable, I like to talk about credibility, right? If you have a business or if you have an idea, right, and you come to me and you're talking and you're sharing with me, we were just talking about this last night, we're creating some content about doing all that research, data. If you come to me and say, "Yo, Terry, yo, I got this dope podcast, I'd love for you to invest into it," right? And then you say, "Hey, well, let me show you the market. Hey, podcasts are set to grow by whatever percent, 20%. The average revenue, if you know, once we get going is this. We're going to make money from sponsors, advertisers, this, that. We can make money from here, there. You know, so if you as an entrepreneur are showing the investor, like, man, I put all this research together. I got the plan. We got revenue sources. I got my business model in place. I got distribution in place. I got marketing in place. I got branding in place. I got partners in place. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So when you have all these things in place, that to me, you're more investable, because now as an investor, you've already figured it out. Mm-hmm. So most investors don't want to pay for you to figure it out. Some people will, depending on, like, if you're a startup, like a tech startup, and you got an idea, hypothesis, and then you're trying to figure it out, then we'll invest money to kind of like tweak the idea. Mm-hmm. But most people who are not those type of investors, they don't got time for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if you got it, if you already figured it out, you already got partners. Mm-hmm. I call it de-risking investors' investment. Mm-hmm. So if you've already put all these things in place, my G, you're so much more investable than somebody else who just got an idea. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to invest in just the idea. I want to invest into the person who took it from idea to go mode.
Got it.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So those are the things that you can do to become more investable. Like, put the play together. I like what Les Brown says, that we said a long time ago, I think it was a quote from somebody else, that it's better to be prepared for opportunity that you don't have, mm-hmm. than to have an opportunity and don't be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
bars.
So I've lived by that, you know, so taking that over to the investor world for an entrepreneur. If you think you got something, mm-hmm. a brand idea, an existing business, a big idea, product, you know, put the play together, put the plan together. So when somebody comes along the way and they say, man, I like what you're doing. Guess what? Only thing you, boom, email, it's gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that way it's ready. You're not like, oh, okay, yeah, let me put it together. Give me like 2 weeks. Like, nah, bro. Like, if you know that you need a potential additional cash, be ready for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because that's all it is. The success is like opportunity and timing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So like, and I share my story, like this real story, real. And I don't share this in the book, but I had got funded by, and this wasn't a traditional investment. Mm-hmm. This was an event I put together with music producer. This was like back in 2000 and I don't know, five or something like that, a long time ago. It was called The Next Super Producer. Mm-hmm. So at that time, Scratch Magazine was a big thing back then. Editor-in-chief was Jerry Barrow. I partnered up with them, Scratch Magazine, Jerry Barrow, Landon Records, the Special Ops team, mm-hmm. MySpace, which was still kind of popping during that time. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to do this beat battle type of thing, but I wanted to do it like a commercial version. Like, mm-hmm. I had always seen beat battles in New York, mm-hmm. different places, but I had never seen nothing commercialized.
Right.
So we were trying to do a 16 city tour. At all the Sam Ash music stores, because Sam Ash had bought the Mars music stores.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Mars Music. So Mars, mm-hmm. used to have stages, okay. inside of their facilities. Mm-hmm. So Sam Ash bought it. So one day I went into the Sam Ash. I was in LA, flew back to VA, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I walked into a Sam Ash, talked to the owner, and I said, I would love to do a beat battle here, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, connect me to the corporate office in New York. And I emailed him. Sammy Ash emailed me. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the Sam Ash, but it was like the son of Grandson, whatever.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, I like the idea. Send me the plan. Mm-hmm. Had already had it together.
Yeah.
I sent them the play. They flew me up to New York. Mm-hmm. They sent me like $10,000 to $15,000 to start.
Sweet.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but I had the play together, mm-hmm. because I approached them like I was ready. Mm-hmm. So that's what I tell entrepreneurs, like, yo, if you got a good product, like I was reading something online the other day about this lady, she got like books. Mm-hmm. So she wants to go full time with her kids' character books.
Right.
Okay, put the play together, because somebody would invest, like I would invest in something like that. If you got the play together, hey, here's $5,000, here's $10,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If it makes sense.
Right.
So that's what I say to be more investable, like put your plays together and just be ready for when the opportunity comes.
That's amazing, man. I hope you guys are taking notes, man. He's dropping some jewels right now, man. Yo, so talk to me about the best investment you would say that you've made and the worst investment you ever made, and the outcomes.
The investment that I've made, mm-hmm. I would say the coolest investment that I've made was into a podcast, mm-hmm. featuring somebody, which I don't want to drop any names, mm-hmm. Because sometimes, well, that one kind of went south a little bit. But it started out as a really, really great opportunity, and it opened up a lot of doors.
Okay.
So on one side, you know, my media company raised an extra, you know, I think $1.5 million was the raise. Mm-hmm. So we invested, you know, a couple, six figures into the kind of podcast structure.
Right.
And it created a lot of opportunities for us. Mm-hmm. Inside of that kind of investment, like we bought into like the Ice Cube Big Three team, you know, part of that investment. But we also invested into former NBA stars, you know, podcast.
Nice.
You know, so that opened up a lot of doors for us. So that was really exciting, you know, for me as both as an entrepreneur, but then also investing in
Nice. So what about the investments that went south? Oh, that didn't go according to plan. Talk to me about those failures.
Well, for me, I like to be honest, I operate more from the entrepreneur side. Mm. So I'm getting money.
Okay.
So, you know, so I'm getting money. So we do more investments through, you know, our company Beyond Sports Media.
Got
for myself as an entrepreneur, I'm getting investments.
Got
so
it.
I'm teaching you the same thing that I do.
Got it.
All day, every year.
You know what I'm saying?
So
makes sense.
So that's what we're doing.
I ain't putting no money out, just give me the money.
Yeah, we're working it. Like, unless we're talking about investing in stocks, crypto, real estate, something like that, that's kind of where I like to put my personal investments in.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's something that's just so dope that I want to be a part of, I'm like, I need to put some money in, but more or less, you know, I'm going out there investing. I'm getting cash.
Ah, got it. Makes sense.
So I'm teaching you to do the same thing I'm doing.
Okay. No, that's a fact. I love it. But even with this endeavor with Investor Magnet, you know, you're investing into this, right? This is an investment for you. Yes.
You mean the actual
book?
Oh, the book, the course, the brand.
Yeah.
Of course, 100%.
Right. So, yo, can you break down the business of being an author, right? Because you're investing in yourself as an author. You know, you took the time to put the money together, the writing, the editing. You know, I'm sure you facilitated different partnerships to do distribution. And, you know, I'm sure you have a plan for monetization, right? So you have a projected ROI in the midst of all that.
Right.
So that's what I want to highlight. So can you break down the business of being an author with this investment?
Well, the ebook is a little different. So the ebook is considered like a low ticket offer.
Okay.
Right? Just like it's like digital marketing, like ClickFunnels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the ebook is not done like traditional like marketing like you would do like with a regular book, like publishing, because we're not printing this book out.
Right.
Right? It's just an ebook. Mm-hmm. So this is basically a low ticket offer, what they call it, digital marketing, for the other products that we offer, which is like the one-on-one coaching, the group coaching, the mastermind, the live event that we got coming up, the Investor Magnet playbook. So this is more like, hey, go to our website, you'll be able to get the ebook, and it's the funnel a potential customer or client into all the other offerings. So it's not the traditional, hey, launching this ebook, I'm not putting it on Amazon, I'm not looking for distribution partners. Everything is through digital marketing, 100%.
Mm.
So it's a different formula.
Gotcha. So this is bait for the other stuff we got going on.
It's a low ticket offer. It's what we call it. It's an LTO, is what they call it. It's called a low ticket offer.
Got it. Now that makes perfect sense. Okay. I see the play there. So tell me, what are the pros and cons of working with investors?
Yeah, pros is if you have an idea, you got a business, existing business, you know, you potentially can get all the cash that you need to do what you gotta do, or some of the cash that you need to scale up the business or develop a product, launch a product. The cons is, of course, you might have to give away, or you're gonna have to give away either some stock, some ownership, or either some type of revenue share.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna have to share in that. So I wouldn't say it's really a con, but it becomes a con if you have an issue with that investor. Say you guys don't see eye to eye on something down the road, and now it's some beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how you structure the contract, it could be an issue later.
Mm-hmm.
Another con is if you as the entrepreneur mess up that money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really as much as, I've seen more the con side dealing with entrepreneurs with no integrity and character than investors not doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the investors, you know, they're giving you the cash.
Mm-hmm.
That was up to you to go out there and make it work.
Right.
So me as an investor, they're trusting you that, hey, the plan that you pitch me, you're gonna go out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
That when I give you 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, whatever it is, you're not gonna go in and add to your Jordan collection. Real talk.
Right.
Or you're not gonna go like, oh man, it's luxury car time.
Right.
Like, nah, man, your job is to take this money and you have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure you do what you have to do. Fun fact, when my first like tech idea with the company was called Trend Chirp.
Yeah.
The idea of the company was to connect you to people, places, and things relevant to how you're shopping at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were out shopping online and then you shopped at a physical store, you would put into the app every place that you were shopping, it would connect you to people who were shopping just like you.
Got it.
Right? And products that, you know, so you ever been to like Amazon's, like people who bought this, bought that?
Yep.
So we took that to the next level. So we took every place that you shop, online, offline, everywhere, and we said, hey man, these are people who's buying products just like you.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a connection. It would be a cool idea to connect with people based off of our shopping experience, the way we spend our money.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my first investor, first investor I had on deck, I think I was trying to raise $2 million, right? So I went to Silicon Valley, met this guy, African-American guy, great guy. And
that the David gentleman you referenced?
No, that's somebody else. Okay. So we go to Connect, drop off my business plan, everything super tight. And he's like, hey, I'm in. Mm-hmm. So I fly back. See, this is my beginning days.
Yeah.
Right. So I fly back, like, man, I'm about to give me a Bentley.
Yeah.
You know, I'm about to get something. I'm about to go in.
You gotta add to the Jordan collection.
I'm about to add to the Jordan collection. Let's go. Right. You know what I'm saying? So so I remember getting a call maybe like 2 weeks, 2 weeks later, say, hey man, we still in. We're not gonna do the full $2 million. We'll give you $500,000, but we're gonna give you a MOU for half. You gotta find another half. So that was part of that whole story. But man, that's a true story.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, just think about the situation with FTX right now.
What happened? Yeah, he lost like what, $6 billion, $16 billion?
What was he doing though? He was using the money there like his own piggy bank, making moves where that wasn't his money.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So like you have a responsibility, man. Like, if I invest, I don't care if it's $1,000. If you say, Terry, I need $1,000 to do something, I give you $1,000 to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go do something else. Right. So again, I've seen more cons on the other side of entrepreneurs not doing what they said they would do with the money.
Mm.
Real talk.
Ah, I got you. That makes sense. Yeah. Do what you say you're gonna do. You know, cause that pretty much builds trust and then it unlocks more money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. For future investments, if you're looking to continue getting investments for that same investor. So yeah, build that trust. You know what I'm saying? So do what you say you're gonna do.
Credibility.
Right. That's what it's all about, man. So tell me, how can an entrepreneur attract an investor without having an established business already?
So basically, people invest in ideas all the time, but you gotta turn that idea into a plan.
Mm.
So that's kind of the journey, mm-hmm. right? It's okay, I got this dope idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, now put the plan together. Again, do the research on the market, do the research on the opportunity, mm-hmm. do the research on the competitors in the space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, poke holes in the competitors in the space. You're looking for opportunities,
mm-hmm.
right? If you look, maybe you can do something, say for example, if it's a physical product and maybe it's something that exists and you just trying to tweak it a little bit, you know, maybe you can change up packaging. I'm just throwing you ideas.
Right.
Packaging is better, or you might see in your research that some of the companies, they have horrible customer service. So now mm-hmm. I'm gonna create a company with amazing customer service,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna put that in my marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the customer service company, but you know, the product can be toilet tissue. I don't know, I'm just saying for example. So it's like, you're just finding the opportunity in your market. So that's why you're doing the third party research,
mm-hmm.
data statistics. I use, when I'm reverse engineering, potential competitors, I'm using a software like it's called SEMrush or like SimilarWeb.
Mm-hmm.
So like I reverse engineer what everybody's doing, where they're getting their traffic from. So again, goes back to what I was saying earlier is to be, when you ask me how do I become more investable,
mm-hmm.
it's like doing all that research and showing me as an investor, like you have it, it's ready to go,
mm-hmm.
that you have something that's sustainable. You have a product or an opportunity that will generate based off of the data, because mm-hmm. I might not agree with the idea, but the data never lies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why data is so important. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because you can't fight against data and statistics.
Right.
So I might not like you, I might not like the idea, but the data, the numbers are the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I teach people to like make sure that those numbers are tight, because mm-hmm. at that point you're showing the investor, I got a clear path. I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the research.
Mm-hmm.
I know who the competitors are, because a lot of people, they try to launch something like, we don't got many competitors in the space. I was consulting someone who I consider, I wouldn't say a friend, but a colleague, mm-hmm. in crypto,
mm-hmm.
and they hired me to help them, right? And they were like, man, we have no competitors in the space for this particular software. And when we first started, I'm like, I don't know. You know, but then I started researching, mm-hmm. and they were working, building for about a good 4 months.
Yeah.
So then I do some digging, I hit them up like, bro, y'all got competitors in the space.
Oh, okay.
So you need to be making sure that at bare bone, you got exactly what these guys got.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know that there were competitors.
Oh, man.
And bro, all I did was go on Google in one instance, and I found it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking my guy. You know, great, great entrepreneur team. You know, however, when you miss that, then for me as an investor, it scares me.
Right.
To invest in what you got going on, because you couldn't find that there were like 5 other competitors already in existence, and you're selling, you're marketing your product as the first ever.
Gotta do that due diligence.
Bro, so these are the things, again, that you have to do to become more attractive to investors. These are the things if you got a new idea and you have no traction at all, the product isn't done. Mm-hmm. I've been there before. Like my first investment, bro, let me tell you what I did. Actually, my first, I'm trying to, I don't want to get them mixed up. Yeah, so the Sand Mash thing, that was more like a partnership kind of money in. But my first investment outside of family and friends was a tech product that I created. And I didn't, well, I didn't have a product. Mm-hmm. All I had was designs. So mm-hmm. to answer your question, all I had was designs, dude, mm-hmm. that I created. Mm-hmm. There wasn't professional. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people think that, okay, it needs to be a certain level for someone to invest in. No, dude, people will invest into starting something new. Again, you just gotta have a play.
Yeah.
So this is what I did, right? I researched the market, and this particular market was the network marketing industry, mm-hmm. right? At the time, they didn't have any like real mobile marketing software at that time. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this really cool concept, and that involved text message marketing, but involved in the app and campaigns and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it really was nothing like that during this time period.
Right.
I did all the research. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I went to a multi-million-dollar company in the States. Mm-hmm. We had 1 million-plus sales reps, you know, in the world. Mm-hmm. And I went to them, their office was in Vegas. And I basically said, if I built this, mm-hmm. would you distribute this mm-hmm. in your network, right? Because in the network marketing industry, they always put tools out that the independent reps pay monthly for, right? Mm-hmm. So they said, yes. I had them sign an MOU, mm-hmm. a memorandum of understanding. Mm-hmm. And I took that to a set of investors, and that's how I got my first $100,000.
Got it.
Right? And we ended up raising like $300,000, and then we sold the company for 7 figures later.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? But again, I started it. I didn't have anything, bro. I didn't have a hard product, mm-hmm. but I was able to use the money that I raised to start the development.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's why I tell people not really having any excuse, because, dude, I didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. I did not have a physical product.
Right.
All I had was that little signed agreement that the company said they would distribute it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the kind of secret sauces that I teach a lot of like entrepreneurs who have products. Like, try to get you potential partnerships, try to get distribution partners, try to get marketing partners, any type of partners you can establish. Mm-hmm. Because what that does, again, it shows the investor like, man, I've already done my research and hey, I'm ready to go.
Right.
I got my business in play. I just need your money to hit the green button to really fire it up.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Love it, man.
Yeah,
love
man.
It. That's amazing, man. This guy's a serial entrepreneur for real. Tell me, so how does an entrepreneur know if they need an investor or not? Like, at what point do I feel as an entrepreneur, like, when do I need to seek an investor?
Well, there was a couple reasons. Either one, entrepreneurs don't have the money to kind of develop it like they want to. Mm-hmm. Or either you got the money, but you don't want to use your own money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an entrepreneur, maybe they don't have good credit, so they can't go and get a loan or a line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't have any savings.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you, as an entrepreneur, maybe you may have the money, but you say, hey, I need more and I want an investor who can also bring value.
Mm.
So there's a couple of different reasons why, or you don't got enough money to scale it.
Right.
You know, so either way, you're gonna need money to develop something, scale something, grow something. Either way, you're gonna need money.
Mm-hmm.
It's either gonna come from your pocket or somebody else's.
Right.
So in entrepreneurship, we always talk about OPM, other people's money, and OPR, other people's resources.
Right.
So a smart entrepreneur, you don't wanna use all your, you don't wanna come out your pocket if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna get that risk capital. You wanna talk to somebody who say, hey man, I got an extra 20K mm-hmm. that's just sitting around. Hey, I'll invest with you. Right, so what that does for you, you can keep your money in your pocket,
right?
You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean you can just be frivolous with other people's money. But I'm just saying you can keep your money in your pocket, and I can leverage your resources to do what I have to do,
right?
Right, and I can probably get some value from you as an investor who you got your own network.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're growing this business, you're making calls too. My investor's making calls,
mm-hmm.
like, hey man, I just invested in this podcast is super dope. Hey, you guys take a look at it. Hey, who you got? Boom, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm invested in it. So now that investor, they're working too.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So investing is not just about the cash that you could get. It's also leveraging that investor's network at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I would say that, you know, it's never like, oh, I just need it now. It's like, okay, if I got an idea, you got a brand, you got a product, and you know you're trying to scale it. You want to get it out more in the world. Maybe you need more Facebook ad money. Okay, you need more Facebook ad money. It's like, if I have more Facebook ads running, then I know I can reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you need money.
Right.
So either, again, it's either going to come from your pocket mm-hmm. or somebody else's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you're going to know.
Right.
At the time that you're either ready to develop something or scale something.
Right.
You want to use your money or somebody else's. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. That's simple, guys. Come on, I hope you're taking these notes, baby.
Yeah, and it's not hard, man. Like, I've had people even in the entertainment film industry, like, ask me questions like, Terry, how do you get people to write you a check? Like, put the plan together. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't raise money for in Hollywood, like films. Yeah. And I don't understand that, you know, that I've never done, you know, for Hollywood.
Right.
But I would think it's the same, mm-hmm. you know, at least the same methodology. Like, put the play together. If I'm working on a film, you're trying to launch a film, you're probably going to go and do research on films who perform the same way. Again, that's not my game. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, I'm thinking that you're probably going to go and do research on other films that perform. How did they do? If they got certain connections, then okay, I'm raising $100,000 for a film or a million or whatever you need. And you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so all you're doing, you're de-risking. So I know one of my guys who he does movies and he goes out, he makes sure he has certain type of actors, you know, like in the movies, mm-hmm. to make that attractive to an investor. Say we have somebody attached to it.
Yeah.
Again, I do not raise money for film. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just saying in conversations that I've had who raise money for like film and stuff.
Yeah, it
like
makes
that.
A project more desirable because you actually have an entity that's a proven concept attached to it, you know, so it's more likely to succeed with that entity attached to it.
Right,
know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So, like, every industry is different. Real estate is different. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. Real estate is backed by asset. Mm-hmm. You know, so the things that I would have to do if I got a personal idea, like mm-hmm. a tech company or a brand or an e-com store or you're an artist or you're an author, you know, like, it's different with real estate because mm-hmm. real estate is super easy.
Right.
Like, it's just super easy if it's backed by an asset. Like, right. you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just different. So I like to say, like, when you have a personal business idea or if you have a business that's running, mm-hmm. it's a different fact. So to get 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 mm-hmm. is a major feat mm-hmm. when it's a project that's not backed by an asset.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I commend anybody and say, yeah, man, I got an investor, family and friend that gave me 10 grand. Congratulations on that 10 grand.
Hell yeah.
Because that's a big deal. Because everybody not forking 10 grand. So if you got 10 grand, you must have did something right.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But in real estate investing, like, oh, that ain't a lot of money. Hey, you're right. In real estate, no. Mm-hmm. But to convince somebody to give you 10 grand for a Facebook ads or 10 grand to help you develop a product, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And especially for an entrepreneur, you don't know where they are in their life or what they're trying to do. You're like, 10 grand can totally change somebody's life.
Right.
Taking an idea, a business idea, and making it a reality, that's a big deal.
Right, it's also art to it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're really pulling on people's heartstrings and mind strings to get them to believe in you,
right.
you know, and spend their hard-earned money. You don't know what they did to get this money.
Absolutely.
But they believe that they can give it to you and you can, you know, make it flourish. So,
right.
Yeah, there's definitely an art behind that, man.
For sure.
And going into the art side of things, I was looking at your book and you broke down the 5 C's. So can right. you share that with the people? What are the 5 C's?
Absolutely. So it's my kind of like framework that I do every time, like if I come up with a new idea, something like that, and stuff that I've used pretty much all my life, I just turn it into a framework. And I thought I loved the idea of calling it the 5 C's.
Yeah.
But the first C is basically collect. And that's where we talk about collecting all that data and everything that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving on to connecting. And that's when you're going out and you're trying to meet different investors. You're talking to family and friends. You're talking to potential angel investors. Any and everybody. You're telling them, hey, I got something that's cool I'm building. Hey, if I do this, would it be something you'd be interested in potentially investing into?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you'll be talking to potential marketing partners or potential distributors. Hey, I'm working on building something. Would you partner with me once I do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's that second C. Third C is create. Create is when you begin to put together your investor pitch deck or your investor one sheet. You know, which basically just kind of highlights, you know, everything about the opportunity, what it is, if there's a problem in the market, how you solve it, if you have a team, what's the business model, what's the revenue model, what's your go-to-market strategy, how much money do you need, how are you going to use the money, how you guys are going to make money,
mm-hmm.
Do you need to do a 3 to 5 year financial projection, how long is this money going to get me,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to say, okay, I'm trying to raise $50,000 is going to give me 6 months of, we call it runway or operation. So we know after 6 months, you're gonna either need to have to raise more money or you're gonna try to make sure that you're starting to make money in that 6 months. So that's that create. And then we got captivate and command. So captivate and command, that's why I call it the 5C groups now.
Yes.
Right, because it's like 6 C's, but I'm calling it 5C groups.
Yeah.
But captivate and command, that's when you get in front of an investor and you wanna captivate them. One, showing them that you've, again, done all the research. Remember, you're grabbing all that research that you did in the first C. Right?
Yes, sir.
So you're taking everything from that first seat. I'm sitting with you, I'm doing a pitch, and I'm telling you, mm-hmm. hey man, you know, 3 out of 5 people prefer blah, blah, blah. 50% of people said X. Mm-hmm. I'm saying in 2025, the industry is gonna, you know what I'm saying? I'm passionate and I got my stuff together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's so now I'm captivating you,
yes.
right, with that.
Yes.
And now I'm commanding attention and I'm commanding respect because now I got credibility
right.
with the research and the data.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put that together, is command and captivate,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And I get excited, man, when I start to go at
it.
And then the last C is close. And this is where you're either gonna get the yes, no, or maybe so, mm-hmm. right? And of course, there's gonna be things you're gonna have to do if they tell you yes, mm-hmm. there's next steps. There's gonna be things you can do that you're gonna have to do if they tell you no, there's next steps. And I wanna talk about that for a quick second, mm-hmm. right? So if somebody tells you no, which is 100% okay, and I'm talking to somebody, whoever watching this, I'm talking to you, mm-hmm. right? If somebody tells you no, it's totally okay. People are gonna tell you no on that journey, right? But this is what you're gonna do when somebody tells you no. Hey, Mr. Investor, I appreciate it. I'm sorry, you know, it's not a good fit for you, basically. But what I would love to know is what could I have done, or you know, what didn't, you know, what kind of threw you off about the pitch or about the opportunity? Let them talk. Let them give you constructive criticism. They might say, hey, you know, I hear it, I see it, but I don't think blah 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 blah. Okay, cool. So they might. So you want them to tell you maybe where they're not clear at, right? One, because this, and you as a salesperson, you know, we're gonna go back and say, well, actually we talked about that here, right? You wanna make sure that you really feel the holes that they have in their mind, mm-hmm. right? So after you feel all the holes and all the research, because you wanna go back to it. Mm-hmm. You know, remember over here, well, remember I said that actually 3% of people, they you know, whatever you can use. And if it still doesn't work out, okay, cool. And do this, always do this. If somebody tells you no, and this is just in sales, period. What you gonna do if somebody tells you no? In sales.
In sales?
You're still gonna ask for what?
The close.
What? The close. If they don't close with you, you're still trying to get what?
Feedback.
Feedback, and what else? You're gonna leave with?
Constructive criticism, what?
I'm still leaving with a referral.
Oh, referral, oh, of course, yes.
Of course. I'm still leaving with a referral. So, hey, this wasn't a good fit, but do you mind connecting with somebody who this may be a good fit for?
Got it.
I'm always leaving with a referral. Mm. So that's why it's still a lot of a soft, like even in our course, I teach a lot of soft skills. Mm. So it's not just information, it's the nuances.
Yes.
It's that finagling, it's that connecting. Mm. I teach little things because remember, some people don't have that background like you have connecting with people. So I'm teaching people like they don't even have sales experience. Mm. I'm teaching stuff like, hey, you know what I mean by that? If somebody do this in sales, like little things, the little touch points.
Yes.
It's connecting points.
Right.
I'm teaching when you sit down how to build rapport with an investor if you don't know this investor. Mm-hmm. Because when I got into sales back in the day, I'm 43 years old. Mm-hmm. So I was selling in my early 20s.
Yeah.
I started selling Windows and Siding. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the things I was taught, if I get in front of somebody, I'm looking for something to connect with.
Right.
If I see a Jordan picture on the wall, I'm talking about Michael Jordan. If I see pumpkins, I'm talking about pumpkins. If I see lights, I'm talking about, hey, what's up with the lights? I'm finding some type of connection point because what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to break down any type of wall because people don't like to be sold. Even they want to, but innately, people don't like to be sold.
Building rapport.
I'm building rapport and I'm going deep in that. Mm. So still try to get that referral. And if they tell you maybe so, what you have to do in that is to continue to still send them information because maybe so is not the answer that you really want. But however, you still got it. They still hooked.
Yeah.
They just ain't cut you the check. They're like, you know, maybe so, give me some time. Mm-hmm. So what you're gonna do, as your business continues to move forward, you're still gonna send them updates. Mm-hmm. You're gonna say, hey, Mr. Investor, hey man, our company just got a feature. I just wanna send you an update. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. Investor, hey, we just partnered up with XYZ software company. I just wanna give you an update. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is giving them so much updated information where you're getting closer to like, okay, oh, they still moving. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because the idea is, hey, I need your money, but at the same time, I'm still gonna make this business work.
That's right.
And that's what investors wanna see. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I didn't give them the money, but man, they still moving it forward. Mm-hmm. And that FOMO may kick in if you're missing out. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what you do in that close phase. You're gonna get a yes, no, or maybe so. And again, you teach different things, but in each response, there's things that you have to do. There's next steps. You gotta make sure your business is set up the right way.
Right.
Make sure your bank account is set up the right way. You would think that people would know that, but sometimes you gotta teach that.
Right.
You know, are you're gonna be an LLC or a corporation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It matters. You know what I'm saying? You got an attorney. You know, making sure your attorney's looking at the documents. I mean, it's so much that we kind of, you know, they got to have, but it depends on the response that you get. But those are the 5 C's, man.
That's what's up, man. Thank you for breaking that down, my good brother. So tell me, what numbers should a entrepreneur have prepared in a pitch meeting?
100%, they need to know how much money exactly you need, right? And if we can, and just to say too, I don't want them to always think it's just a pitch, right? And we use that in the startup world, but we want to make sure it's not just a pitch, it's a presentation, it's a proposal, right? But you need to make sure, one, that you have how much money you think you need, mm-hmm. and how you're going to use it. Mm-hmm. Those numbers, you need to have that. You need to know how it's 10% going over in marketing, it's 10% going over in hiring, mm-hmm. and distribution, whatever, however you're going to use the money. Mm-hmm. And then also, the other thing you're going to have to do is know how the money, as the money goes out, when it comes back in. So you're going to need to put together like a 3 to 5 year projection, mm-hmm. right? Depending on what the business is. Mm-hmm. If the money you're raising is for like a one-time, like an event, hey man, I need $20,000 for an event. It's different. You're not going to put together a 1 to 3 year projection. Mm-hmm. It's just more like, okay, if you invest $20,000, we're going to do an event. This is how the money works. You know right. what I'm saying? So it's different versus a short-term play versus a long-term play. Mm-hmm. But I would say definitely you need to know how much money you really need, how you're going to use the money, and then how you're going to return the money back to the investor.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Those are the key, the three key points that you need to know. Right. There's more, of course, but those are the three key.
That's going to be in the course. You can't give everything out. You got to buy the book and get the course.
We're going to drip some sauce out, man, but hopefully like this is enough to, I want to help people, man. I want so many entrepreneurs with great ideas, man, and like, we sitting on stuff, and everybody doesn't have good credit. Like, you see people saying all the time, man, get the business credit, like, let's build our credit up, which is dope. But check this out, when you build a business, mm-hmm. and say I use my credit, and I go get a line of credit, I use credit cards, and everybody's saying, you get business funding and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. You do know that when you use that $20,000 off the credit line, guess what? That bill either gotta be paid back in full next month, or you gotta start making payments on it,
right?
But the cool thing is, when you're dealing with investors, mm-hmm. right? That money's paid back at an agreed upon time frame. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I would rather work with an investor that I can work on a negotiated time frame than to have to go and get a line of credit or leverage an asset mm-hmm. to, you know what I'm saying? And I get it. It's everybody's teaching it. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. But if I'm invested in something especially if I'm developing something new, mm-hmm. right? So even because, dude, sometimes even the best preparation, the best plan, sometimes things go south. Sometimes you may have to pivot. So what if you get, say if you go and get a line of credit, or you use your credit cards, you go get a loan, and you start developing, you go out the market, and you get some different feedback, and you gotta change, you gotta pivot.
Right.
And you thought you were gonna be a place at revenue, but you're not, because the market is telling you otherwise. Mm-hmm. So now you gotta change direction.
Right.
But guess what? Who's knocking at that door? Mm-hmm. That creditor.
I need my money back.
That loan, that line of credit, they want their money back, right? But again, with that investor, man, it's like, hey, this is the plan. However, if this happens, we can start paying back at here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now you're talking 6 months, a year, whatever negotiated time frame you think you need to achieve what they call product market fit, to make sure there's a fit in the market. You know what I'm saying? Or like I said, if it's a one-time type of thing, that's a little different. If I'm raising money for an event, I'm about to do a concert. I need $100,000, I need $200,000, I need $500,000. That's a little different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's kind of what I like to teach. Now, if you can't, for whatever reason, you can't go and attract an investor, mm-hmm. of course, leverage your credit up, man. Like, build your credit up, get business credit, personal, whatever you got to do to get it. I mean, you got to move your business forward either way.
Yeah, okay. Is it true that you can leverage trade lines to get business funding?
100%.
How so?
So again, that's not what I teach, but 100%. So you can actually add trade lines to your personal credit and your business credit. So the idea with that, again, I know people who really teach that. Okay. So I'm not the expert in that, mm-hmm. but I've done it before. So the idea is to take those trade lines, put it to your business credit, right? And then boost your score up.
Okay.
So that's the idea of that. So you can do that for your personal credit. We've done that multiple times. And then of course you can do it to your business. And
yes,
again, and those trade lines, of course, you're paying anywhere from, I don't know, 500 to 2,000, mm-hmm. depending on what you're doing. I mean, there's other strategies like buying shelf corporations. I mean, there's so many different things you can do to get funding.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you don't wanna, I know a lot of people who've done that and they deceive the system. So I'll go and get business credit in the LLC, build it up. Oh, it don't work out. Okay, bankrupt and go create another LLC and get business funding again and keep this whole loop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then that's deception. Like for me, I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about making an impact in the world. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to abuse the system.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and I know responsible. And I know gentlemen that perform in that deceitful form as well. But I meant more so like to get business funding to accomplish a goal, whereas you don't really need an investor, now you are your own investor, where you're leveraging these trade lines and then you're applying for business funding, then you get the funding based off the trade lines that's attached to that, and then you use it for what you want to do.
But once again, like I said, you got to pay that back.
Correct.
At a time frame.
Right.
So that's a lot of pressure that you're adding to yourself on your business, because now I got 30 days or 60 days to pay that money back versus working with an investor that's going to give me 6 months to a year to 2 years to 3 years to pay the money back.
Well, like you said, how to play in place.
Yeah, how to play in place. Well, that's what I'm saying. But if you can't, I'm just saying if I had to go either or, it's, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything.
Correct.
I'm just saying for me, I mean, there are times, yeah, go get that. If you know that you have revenue or you got money coming in that can pay those notes when it comes in to pay off, by all means, go and do it. But a lot of people, they haven't figured out that, I call it the three M's of money, making it, managing it, multiplying it, right? So some people haven't figured out that management part. So everybody's hyping up business credit, go get the credit. But like if somebody's not mentally ready to handle, you know, that bill when it comes back, so guess what's gonna happen? They ain't paying it, then the credit's back down. It's this whole system again. So I'm just saying, it's pros and cons of everything. But at the end of the day, I believe the numbers are 47% of entrepreneurs do self-fund. But a lot of the reason is because they don't understand how to go and pitch or present to investors to get risk capital. You know what I'm saying? So it's really just the education of understanding how do I approach somebody? How do I get rid of the fear? How do I understand I can go talk to my guy right here and say, hey man, I got this dope idea. I'm looking for investors. You know, I'm willing to give an investor 10%, 20%. I'm able to give them 3% off of the top line revenue, bottom line revenue. It's just the education.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the same way that everybody's educating online right now about going to get business funding, personal funding, all that good stuff to leverage business, what I'm trying to do is teach that other side too. Hey, there is risk capital. You got to understand that the biggest companies in the world have not been built on just going to get lines of credit and business funding. Like, it's just not. When you look at the TikToks of the world, when you look at the Instagrams of the world, when you look at the Facebooks of the world, and all these companies that's being acquired for millions of dollars, guys, they had investors because they had to have money to scale your business.
Right?
So that's what we're talking about, like positioning yourself. So even if you had to self-fund your business in the beginning, right? Dope, great. And a lot of times that's actually good, because what that does is it shows an investor, hey, I got skin in the game. You know, so again, it may not be you going to get some funding, but maybe you work a full-time job and you've been carving off some money off of your salary and you're investing into your own business to get it to the next level. Great, right? So when you meet an investor, you're going to tell them that, hey man, I've been self-funding. So again, I'm scooting closer to you again. Because I'm like, oh man, okay, he got skin in the game. He believes enough in his own product where he put time, money, and energy.
Right.
All in, you know what I'm saying, into this. So that actually helps. But at the end of the day, man, the biggest companies in the world, you're talking about the companies that become billion-dollar companies, that becomes valued at $100 million. These guys get investors.
Yeah.
You're in the entertainment business. Kevin Hart, come on, he just got tons of investment money.
Yes, sir.
Right? Look at all these entertainment entities. They're receiving tons of money, right? Investment dollars, private equity companies are investing into them, right? So in order to take those businesses to those big levels, you're gonna need investors, hands down.
Right.
So again, everybody's on different levels, so you can literally attract investors to products that doesn't even exist yet. Again, you're gonna raise investment dollars if you need to scale something in your existing business or acquire something. I'm gonna pause on that, because for example, you don't have to be the person with the idea.
Right.
You can be the person that say, hey, I need money to go acquire an asset. I want to go acquire a business. So say, for example, Shopify store. You know you can buy a revenue generating Shopify store right now?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. So check this out. How easy. I'm giving you plays, bro.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can go to an investor. Somebody got a little extra cash. Somebody, one of the homies. Yo, how much cash you got sitting there? I got extra 50. Hey, yo, let's go buy 3 Shopify stores. You put the money up, I'm managing.
Beautiful.
Yo, okay, then again, put the play together. Yo, this is the industry, this is the opportunity. Shopify, e-commerce doing this. Hey, we got 3 stores already generating this. We're gonna buy from this. So if you go buy a Shopify store, you're probably gonna be in the red, probably for maybe say whatever amount of time, but you're gonna see, okay, as long as we keep feeding the Facebook ads, okay, we're gonna be in profit here.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yes,
so it's not always about, you know, creating your own thing. Everybody's talking about YouTube automation, right? YouTube automation, guess what? You'll still need some Facebook ad money, some advertising to drive it. So guess what? hey, my dude, hey, I'm thinking about doing YouTube automation. As an opportunity, I'm gonna need like 10 grand. Mm-hmm. Right. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So now you have a passive income play, and your homeboy, our friend, close friend, who had the money invested with you, they don't got time to manage it. Mm-hmm. Now y'all kind of like this partnership. Your homie got the money.
Yes, sir.
You got the management. Mm-hmm. And now you got a recurring revenue play happening over here.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So like, these are plays with guys that you can do all the time. Mm-hmm. Just put the play together. That's it. And if you put the play together right, there's people who will say, hey man, I'm down for it, I got it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Just put the play together. So that's what we're teaching people. So it's not just about going to get $100,000, like teach me how to raise $2 million. I'm teaching people how to go get it even at a small level and kind of think differently. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so again, you're either gonna need your money or OPM. And anybody will tell you, I'd rather use OPM and OPR any day of the week than having to go to my savings and use my savings. But everybody's on different levels, man.
Yeah.
Some people don't wanna risk their own savings, but there are people who wanna risk that money. And you gotta think, you got a homeboy that's sitting on 50,000, just say 50,000, 20,000 to play with.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to grow his money.
Right.
So, and you as an entrepreneur, you're giving him plays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an even exchange that his money's no greater than the idea and what you bring it to the table.
Right.
But he needs you and you need him.
Right.
So we gotta look at this whole investor-entrepreneur relationship different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of like what I teach you. It's super simple. Just put the play together.
Put the play together, man. When does the course drop?
Course, man, we're probably gonna go live first of the year, January. But right now the ebook, we're launching next week actually.
Okay.
The ebook will be available to purchase. And then we'll also be offering group-to-group coaching. We're launching an entrepreneur accountability program as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of things that we're launching, man, in the next couple weeks, man. So 2023 for us is go time, man. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited. We're trying to impact as many entrepreneurs as possible, create an environment for them to be successful, and bring as many people to the table. So it's not just gonna be me, man. We're trying to build a whole community, man, of like fired up entrepreneurs to support other entrepreneurs, especially, man, like here in LA. Because
mm-hmm.
you like in Atlanta got it a lot.
Yes, sir.
Atlanta, they killing it. They got that culture. But in LA, we haven't quite created that community entrepreneurship culture. So I'm working on something right now to kind of bring, you know, high performing entrepreneurs and CEOs and independent, you know, people together, man. So I'm super excited about that. But that's what our 2023 looks like, man.
That's amazing, my good brother. I look forward to being a part of it, man. Let the people know where they can follow you, where they can get the book and do business with you.
For sure, man. You can follow me on Instagram at I am Terry Briggs. Check me out at online for the book, Investor Magnet ebook. And then the course, we'll let you know. Once you go to investormagnetebook.com, then we'll lead you to where to go for the course when it's ready. But hey man, just check us out. We're gonna be putting out a podcast too.
Awesome.
First podcast is called Investor Magnet. The other one is called Beyond Money.
Mm.
But because we, you know, I believe that podcasts are top of funnel for companies.
Yes, sir.
So we decided to create our own podcast, just kind of talking about investors and entrepreneurs. So that's what the Investor Magnet podcast is about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Beyond Money podcast is where we kind of talk about the human side of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Going beyond the money,
right.
What I'm saying? So that's what we're excited about. So I'll just keep letting you know what's going on. You can let your listeners and your viewers know what's popping, man. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming on the show, man. Man,
Terry
Briggs, man, the Investor Magnet. Make sure you get the book, the course, the merch. I'm sure you got some merch.
It's coming.
Ah, man, let's go.
And it's dope. And you want it? Listen, can I say this one last thing?
Do what you do, bro.
Listen. The merch is definitely going to be important. So one thing we are going to be offering a lot of our students, man, it's just like little plays. Like I said, if you got something that you need investors for, little plays like this, go make you a shirt and say investors want it.
Oh.
So that way, while you're walking around and your shirt says investors want it, guess what? What you need investors for? I wish we could drop a mic right now.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like little things like that we can do. But yeah, man, we're definitely going to be offering merch and kind of, you know, we're going to kind of take, you know, different quotes and different things we say in this path that we're building and kind of, you know, create some really dope shirts and stuff like that. So we'll have all that available, man. Plus some other little secret sauces we're putting together. And we're putting together our first event in March.
Mm.
So the Investor Magnet Summit. So I'm really excited about that, man.
That's
so
amazing.
We're looking to bring some
in LA?
In LA, dog.
Mm.
We got to bring this heat to LA, man. Like I said, Atlanta got it a lot. And there's a couple people in Atlanta I want to work with. Hopefully we can get them out here. But yeah, man, I'm excited, man.
I'm excited for you, brother.
Excited.
That's amazing, man. Well, stay tuned. My man Terry Briggs in the building. Johnny Vegas, this has been another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Make sure you get you some of that good old Sleepers for Billionaires merch.
Let's go.
Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. And we out.
Sleep is for billionaires, baby.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Good stuff, my brother. That was great, man.